Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your hosts, Leslie M. Scott Jones and David Von Strawn. And now, here's David.
Hello! Charlottesville, it is Sunday! It is June the 30th. Bye-bye, June. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. We'll see you later.
No, wait. June?
No, we're kicking out June.
June is gone.
June is done.
But I had...
The June is gone.
No.
The June is gone away.
Okay. It's gone.
No, but it's going to feel like August for like 3 more months, so it's okay.
Yes. It is as...
The lovely, though, Pushy Silasivius Lesbian got the job.
Thank you, David. Yeah, seriously, it's like oppressively hot outside.
Yeah, it's
like,
plantation hot out there.
I feel attacked.
Mm-hmm.
I feel attacked.
Yeah.
By the weather.
It's a violation of the soul, how hot it is out there. Yes, it's
horrid.
Yes, oppressive would be an understatement at this point. But it's only going to get better.
I like imagining that plantation hot is measured not by temperature, but how violated and oppressed you feel by the temperature.
Quentin Johnson, executive producer of Homegrown. He gets it.
It's
Africa hot. It is. Woo! So deep. You know, I guess they're like, I get it. I understand now. You know what I'm talking about. What's there to talk about? Oh, I don't know. Just that our co-host is one of the 20 power movers and shakers of Charlottesville. Oh, my God. Look at that face. Look at that face. Buh, buh, buh. Oh, my God. I'm so happy for it. Speech.
Speeches, mofo. I had absolutely no idea that was happening.
That's usually what happens when
until I had several text messages congratulating me. And of course, you know, somebody sends you a text message at 8:30 at night, you know, on a Wednesday. Hey, girl! Mm-hmm. Ooh, you doing your thing? I was like, yeah, I'm doing my thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
No,
I'm doing my thing.
And then finally someone sends me the link and I'm like, oh, that's what you were talking about. They didn't even tell me.
That's so funny.
Okay.
Yeah, see, people don't tell you nothing. They don't email you nothing about the stuff that they... Like, I was nominated... The Homegrown was nominated for Best Radio Show in Charlottesville, and I was nominated for Best Host.
Look at this.
Exactly. Thank you, Jeff. Like, we didn't know about this. I would have put on my Barry O voice and been like, oh, everybody. Now, I want you to get on the Seville website. Login. I know it's a difficult website at first, but you just got to take some time. Just go through the motions. Just have patience. Just go to Seville.com.
Oh, my God.
David Von Strawn. Homegrown. Button it in. Write it down. You're going to be so happy. Barrier. Talk to you. Sorry. Let me stop
David Von Strawn. David Von Strawn, 2020.
How come it's taking you so... How come it's taking you until now to break out that voice?
What?
You haven't heard my Barry O?
No, I have not heard that voice. Oh, my God. Well, he's been gone for so long, I haven't had a chance to whip it out.
He's been gone forever.
Yeah, come back,
Barry. We miss you, Barry.
Yep.
We miss you.
So much.
We miss you. You know what? We'll invite you to the cookout if you come back.
We will.
You
are invited to every official Homegrown cookout.
Come back, please.
Yeah, we miss when you were just... throwing people out of the country. Now we're just putting them in concentration camps.
You know?
Right.
But they're coming in. They fixed the problem. They're getting them in. Lydia Underwood, her aunt. And Tim Reed. I have no segue for that. So smooth. Oh, like Skippy peanut butter. A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Another thing I don't like. Why do you keep mentioning stuff I don't like?
I'm sorry.
First with the bananas, now with the peanut butter.
I do not like bananas on peanut butter. That's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother story here and there. See?
I just rub a little bit in my mouth.
A Midsummer Night's Dream coming to the Four County Players and the Barbersville Ruins July 12th through July 27th. Lydia, Tim, thank you so much for coming to the studio.
Well, you're so welcome.
Yep. I worked with Tim Reed and Ragtime. He was the father belting out that Journey On. I miss that track. I miss you particularly. I miss... coming into the space with you, because I know that you bring your stuff. So
that was great fun.
It was an excellent experience for us all. But that was then, and this is now. A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Summer of Shakespeare. It's going down here in Charlottesville. Lydia, talk about it. Everybody knows about the fair, probably most loved comedy of Shakespearean lore.
Yes.
Talk about how you're going to freak it. Talk about how you're going to make it different.
Yes.
Make it lively. You're doing it outdoors as well. So that.
Yeah.
Also, so talk about it.
I got to start with the history of the Shakespeare at
yes,
the Ruins
ma'am.
A little bit. So, so back in 1990, a woman named Sarah Smith Bassong started the Shakespeare at the Ruins. And I believe the first show was A Midsummer Night's Dream out there. And and that continued.
And for people who don't know, tell them which ruins we're talking about.
Yes, thank you. So we do this out at the ruins of Governor Barber. It's his mansion's ruins out there, and it's at the Barbersville Winery. It unfortunately burned on Christmas Day, I think, in 1884. I might have that date incorrect, but I don't know. It's a beautiful setting, and so, in 1990, she started it with A Midsummer Night's Dream, and it continued until 2006. I directed a production of A Midsummer in 1998, and actually before that I did Romeo and Juliet out there in 1997. And then in 2002 I directed Comedy of Errors as well. But there's been so many different Shakespeare shows directed by amazing directors and with amazing casts out there. But in 2006 they stopped it.
Why?
I know, isn't that awful? They stopped it because there was so much wear and tear on the grounds of the historic site.
The ruins was ruined.
The ruins were ruined, exactly. and so the winery made the decision, maybe along with the Historical Society, I don't know about that, but that it was just too much wear and tear and that they were going to stop the Summer Shakespeare. And so this is the first time it's happened since 2006. And it's probably the last time. It's a one summer only thing, and it's happening because Four County Players is restoring the back of their theater and really couldn't put a show in there this summer, but wanted to continue to do a show. And so Four County went to Luca Pacina at the winery, who's the manager of Barbersville Winery, and said,
"Luca's well known. Comes
we
up with
want,
the greatest octagon.
Yeah, we want exactly delicious. We want to do Shakespeare again. And is it possible just to do it this summer if we take really good care of everything?" And Luca generously agreed, and I came on as director, and I chose to do A Midsummer Night's Dream because it is my favorite Shakespeare play, one of my favorite plays actually in the entire world. It's a little jewel of a fairy tale.
Why?
It talks about so many things, and I love the three plots that are intertwined. The plot of there's the Theseus and Hippolyta who are getting married. They're royal. He's the duke. He won her in battle, which is crazy. She's an Amazon woman, and he is based on the historic or the mythological character of Theseus, who is
that's
a hero.
That's so tight to me. Like, she's a war bride. She is a spoil of war.
She is a spoil of war. And so in the beginning of the show, my take on that is that she's not so keen on him at all.
Which is the appropriate take, which
Thank
so
you.
Few people do.
I know. No, she is not keen on him at all. And in fact, she, you know, has some wonderful looks and gestures and, you know, uses a fake bow and arrow to basically say she's in love with him, but at the same time let him know she's not happy with how she was won in war. I'm sitting here with my Theseus. He's smiling at me. Tim Reed. Anyway.
Well, and props to her because, you know, it's really hard because I'm so lovable.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Tim's really a great guy. Once you get to know him, he just plays in it.
I just play well.
He just plays one of them really well.
Yeah.
So we almost got FCC flagged for a minute. But you do it so well. That's the bite.
That's the start of the show, and then you learn, like, the first plot is that Hermia, who is a young woman in love with Lysander, comes in. Her father drags her in, basically, and says, and of course, this this is all this paternal authority, and he says, you can only marry the man I want you to marry, who's Demetrius. And of course she's in love with Lysander, and so they end up wanting to run away together, and they do. They run into the woods. So that's your first plot, basically. Yeah. And lots of conflict there. And then you meet the Rude Mechanicals, or the Rustics, and they're a group of artisans or craftsmen from the town of Turin.
Sounds
in
like
our
a
play,
Mad Max gang.
Because we have set the play in 19th century Italy at a winery.
Makes sense.
At a winery. And it's right outside of Turin, but the winery's in the Piedmont region, and I'm playing around a lot with sort of wine allusions and things like that. So anyway, the Rude Mechanicals are artisans in Turin, and they are met together to rehearse a play intended for Theseus' great nuptial day, as Shakespeare says. And so they're trying to put together this play, and of course they know nothing about putting on a play. And so that's the second plot. And then the third plot has to do with the fairies, and they're having a major war because he wants this little changeling boy that was to be his henchman, that was the son of a good friend of hers, a mortal woman who died, and she said Titania agreed to raise this child.
And her being the king and queen of the fairies.
Yes, they are the king and queen of the fairyland, exactly. And all hell has broken loose in the fairyland because they are at war with each other. And, you know, it's really interesting to me because I feel like we can all relate to what's going on in the fairy world. She has this incredible speech, which is basically about climate change. I mean, it is about climate change. All these horrible things are happening. The seasons are altered. Everything is topsy-turvy. Mm. And she is saying to him, the only way that we're going to get out of this is for us to get along, basically. And, you know, I just think to myself, yeah, that really relates to sort of what's happening in our world, isn't it? Mm. Our world is in disorder and confusion, and we're going through all of this stuff with climate change. And wouldn't it be nice if our leaders could get along and make some decisions that would really help with the situation? Anyway, so that's my sort of political point of view of that.
We don't talk politics here on Homegrown.
But anyway, those three plots become intertwined and are done. It's done so beautifully. And really, honestly, the play to me is about transformation. It's about the power of theater because transformation happening with so Bottom is translated into a donkey. Everybody is transformed in some way by love, by power, by magic. And the Rude Mechanicals at the end, the way I'm directing it at least, is that they actually are transformed through their play. And I hope that the audience is going to be transformed by watching what they do and watching the play. And it's really about how doing theater. And Shakespeare knew this. I know he knew this. I didn't know him. I know, you know, he wasn't my best friend. But I know he knew about humanity, and which is why his plays have lasted for so long, for 400 years, you know. And so everybody is transformed, and the Rude Mechanicals realize their own potential. And I have the Rude Mechanicals and the Royals actually coming together at the end of the play, even though at the beginning of the play, and somewhat throughout the play, within the play, when they're watching the Rude Mechanicals put on their Pyramus and Thisbe play, they're making these kind of rude comments and all of that. But by the end of it, they see that they have done, the Rude Mechanicals have done something really important. And they also feel it. They feel like they've been transformed by that performance in some way. And so the show actually ends with this incredible Italian folk dance where the royals come together with the rustics and you know, you get this sense of community, the sense of transformation, and it's all because of the power of theater and the power of stories. So that's sort of my take on the whole thing. And I don't know.
David, you remember when we did do Ragtime, one of the things that was powerful about that was three communities intersecting.
Yeah.
In that case, immigrants, people from Harlem, people from New Rochelle, and how their stories intersected, and they were changed in the process there. And that's very much what Lydia is talking about, that happens here between the royals, between the tradesmen that want to put on a play, and the young lovers, and then the fairies, and kind of their take on this amazing world of fantasy and magic And so it's a terrific opportunity for people to come and just sort of get caught up in the idea that there are different communities that when they do intersect, we learn more about not only each other, but about ourselves.
And I
think of all the Shakespeare plays, Midsummer Night's Dream is one of the most accessible. So even people that think, oh, I don't like Shakespeare or I don't know Shakespeare.
Right.
There's a reason why a lot of us read it in middle school or high school drama clubs do it. Because it's of all the Shakespeare plays, one that's easy to get to. Lydia has directed it so beautifully with a lot of physical action, a lot of comedy. So people will have plenty to watch, even if they don't, aren't that into, the broader themes that we theater people like to talk about.
Mm. But I'll tell you, the poetry in this play is also incredible. One of my favorite speeches is one of Oberon's speeches. His character is a really difficult character to play, and often it's done sort of very still and standing up straight and all of that. And
featured with machismo.
Oberon is all over the place. He's funny. He's quirky. He's magical. He's evil. He's all those things rolled into one. And it really changes it for me, I think. And Johnny Butcher does an amazing job, I think, as Oberon. Yes, as does the entire cast. I got really, really lucky. This happened to me the first time I did Midsummer out at the Ruins. And I thought, I'll never get a cast that just sort of magically sort of gloms together and understands each other and works really well together. And then, boom, it happened again. And I feel like it's part of it is the play. Part of it is being outside. And we just started outside, actually, last week. We've been rehearsing indoors at Four County. Mm-hmm. But we're now outside. And there is something so magical about being outside. And, having, as it's getting dark, having the stars come out, or having seeing the clouds overhead, watching the sunset over the fairy bower, and so I know that the audience is going to be transported, translated, transformed in some way by being out in nature during this show. It should be done in nature. And actually, in Shakespeare's time, if you were outside at the Globe, you were outdoors.
Right on.
And so it's similar conditions to how people would have experienced it years ago. And of course, the best way to be transformed is to get a glass of wine from the Barbersville Vineyards and sip that wine throughout the whole show.
That's a segue.
That's a segue. That's what you got to just go. And it's not too early to get your wine. It's past 10. So it's Sunday. You ain't got nothing better to do. Lydia Horan, Tim Reed talking about Midsummer Night's Dream. This is Homegrown Drop.
This is Edward Warwick White from Four County Players, and you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
19 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown 94.7 WPVC, Lydia Horan, Tim Reed from A Midsummer Night's Dream, going... Lydia Underwood Horan.
Yes.
I'm going to get it right. And Tim Reed, Midsummer Night's Dream, Four County Players at the Barbersville Ruins, July 12th through July 27th.
There we go.
Yeah.
Correct.
It's been a long weekend. No, in a good way.
There's the story.
In a good way. Yes. I never get tired of watching YouTube. Okay. No, I'm just giving shout outs to the people out there. See? Shout outs. Love.
Okay.
Love. All right. Midsummer Night's Dream.
I don't know that you're doing that.
It's not about everybody on the radio. I'm
so
just giving it out to the people there too.
So challenges in challenges. Putting on
challenges.
This show.
Which yes.
Is exactly the question I was gonna ask.
Okay, challenges in putting on this show. So one of the biggest challenges outdoors is bugs. We have Andy Davis, who does an amazing job as Demetrius, was out there the other night, and he was in the middle of a scene and a bug flew into his mouth. And
I believe it.
He kept going, but then he finally said, "I can't do this anymore. I'm choking." So we did stop.
That's so Andy.
Yeah, yeah, so anyway,
he will power through until he cannot.
So bugs are a problem sometimes, but not really. I mean, I actually have been amazed at how little we have run into difficulties, especially because we're not doing it in the late afternoon. There were times where we used to do matinees out there, and we don't do matinees anymore. It's too hot. Climate change, too hot. So all of our shows are at 7 o'clock, and we've been rehearsing basically from 7 to 9:30 or 10. And so it's much nicer out there. It's cool. And because of where the building is, the audience and the actors are in shade during the show. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's the Barbersville, the side of the ruins are behind us. But there are, you know, there are other challenges, like the heat is, you know, sometimes, although it is cooler at night. And we had to have all the poison ivy cut away from the boxwoods because we make a lot of entrances and exits to the boxwoods.
Yes.
Yeah. There can be snakes. There was a bear sighting at the winery
not long ago. I have seen more bears than not recently.
Yeah.
I saw a bear in pantops.
So,
it was weird.
Yeah, there's bears out there. So anyway, it's just being in the outdoors is also getting your voice out. Like we noticed the other night. So if you're there and it's a beautiful, breezy night, your voice is carrying. The other night, we were out there and we were doing the show. And I was like, why can I not hear people the way I did last night? What's happening? And then it hit me that it was a still night. It was just the humidity was there. It was still. And they weren't able to get their voices out. So this is something that the actors have to adjust to nightly. They have to say, okay, tonight is a still night. I've got to get my voice out there and project a little bit more.
Well, and the audience does, too. But it's so worth it, I think. You know, you talked about the tradition of not only the ruins being in an historic place, mm-hmm. but the tradition of doing Shakespeare outside, mm-hmm. and for audience members to get to come see that. I mean, it's mm-hmm. been done in Central Park in New York, yep. all the mm-hmm. way down to Appomattox, Virginia, where we did mm-hmm. Romeo and Juliet. It's so exciting to be in an outside venue and feel a sense of continuity to people that have been doing Shakespeare for all these, you know, centuries, and yet every performance is unique and fresh, and because that's what live theater is.
Yeah.
And we're out there breathing the same air, hopefully not bugs. Please, no wagering on who's going to get the bug that night.
It's romantic out there, though. It's gorgeous.
It's
and it's the perfect setting.
Great Virginia sunsets.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing that's new this time around, never happened before at a Shakespeare at the Ruins, is we are having food trucks out there.
What?
So not only
Oh, food
is
trucks
this,
are going to come to where the party at.
Yeah. No.
They ain't stupid. They're like, oh, there's a whole bunch of people here. We're
going to
park right here.
So every night we're going to have some food trucks there. So you can either bring your own picnic, you can purchase food from the food trucks, or if you're really lucky and have some money, you can purchase a Palladio picnic basket from their restaurant, Palladio.
Fancy.
Yeah, fancy, fancy. And yeah, wonderful. And then, of course, Barbersville wine.
I like that Palladio plug you just squeezed in there. Palladio! Subscribe, sponsors, love it, summer, nice dream.
And we're going to have pre-show entertainment as well. We have some women coming out to sing Italian arias pre-show. We have an acting troupe that has been really well directed by Anna Gray Hogan. She's the director of pre-show entertainment. And she has our troupe of fairies are also a little pre-show acting troupe. And they do scenes from other Shakespeare plays. Yeah. They do sword fights. They do all kinds of fun things that people are going to want to watch while they're just sitting out on their picnic blanket picnicking before the show.
And it's fun it is fun for kids too, because
absolutely.
There's a lot of because
well,
of the physical action
before
the show.
Although I have
coming
to say
attractions.
You know, because I direct Midsummer Night's Dream with 10-year-olds every year as well. Like mm-hmm. this is the 20th production of Midsummer Night's Dream I've directed. Most of them have been with young people, but the joy of directing adults in this
is a little different than with 10-year-olds.
Yeah,
I get
to do some stuff and have
there
the actors
some adult,
do some stuff.
There are some adult themes that you probably haven't seen if you've seen this done at your local high school.
Exactly. Yes.
So is there any
is there any difficulty in dealing with a work that you have dealt with so much, dealing with a text that you know so well?
You know what? I found, actually, this time around, I didn't find it challenging. And one of the reasons was I've recently gone and taken the seminar at ASC over in Stanton. I have done this play so many times that I kind of know it inside and out. And then adding a new setting to it and adding new actors to it just brings it to life for me. And there hasn't really been a challenge for me other than, like, discovering new things. And, you know, that's a challenge because you discover something new and you're like, oh, wait, I have to do something different with this now. But I always approach it as it's like a completely fresh new piece every time I do it. I try not to repeat things. I try to let actors come up with their own ideas, or I'll feed them an idea. And if it works for them, great. If it doesn't, then I'm like, okay, let's see. I want to see what you bring to it. And more times than not, what they bring to it is the best thing. So it's been a real true collaboration, and I'd like to be able to say I had this challenge and that challenge, but actually, honestly, Clinton, I have not felt that way. I've just it's been bliss to direct this show. It really has. It's been bliss. I've loved every minute of it. Yeah, exactly.
Smooth sailing. Like every show, just no rocks, no challenges.
He didn't just say that.
Leslie, why'd you make that face? Why'd you make that face? What?
Every show is so easy to do. It's just like. Like water off a duck's back.
No, that's not true. But for some reason, this has been very
hashtag blessed.
Sailing. Yeah.
Hashtag blessed.
Yeah.
So and it's not your first rodeo, I'm sure. So I'm pretty sure you know what you're doing, especially with this one. We got to wrap up, but I'm sure you'll be back with the next one. Thank you so much for bringing Shakespeare back to the ruins.
Thank you,
Central Virginia. Yeah. It's very important.
We're excited to bring it back. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lydia Underwood Horan and Tim Reed. Thank you both. So.
Thank you for having us so much.
Great to be with you.
Being in the studio.
Yay, homegrown.
Yay, homegrown. That's what I want to hear. Get that on a bump. All right, let's get to some artistic events going on in Charlottesville because there are so many because y'all are so autistic. So let's just get to it. Here are some of the artistic events, some but not all, happening this week. Last chance. Check out these exhibits from these local artists. Call ahead. As some of these venues may be closed today just because it's hot. Not even because it's Sunday, just because it's hot. Radio Laria and Reef are Oceans Living Abstractions by Tina Curtis at Sexton Street Gallery. Works by Erin Marie O'Keefe, Amanda Wagstaff, and Mary Lamb at New City Arts Welcome Gallery. Cry of the Cicada. Photographed by Bill Mousy at Chroma Projects. The set. The cry. It was a cry. It was a cicada cry. Y'all been here for it. The second group by the Feminist Union of Seville Creatives, worked by photographer Scott F. Smith, and the final works from 2018 to 2019. Oh, incubator, residents, artists, all at McGuffey Arts Center. And that's all happening now. Last chance. Or it has already been your last chance.
Are you all right?
No, never. All right. Today, guided gallery tour of the Kluge Rue Aboriginal Art Collection at 1:30. June 25th through September 3rd, the American Shakespeare Center presents their summer season with just four plays.
Four.
Julius Caesar, Antony and Cleopatra by Shakespeare. Oh my God. Caesar and Cleopatra by George Bernard Shaw. And The Wheel of Two Cases by Ethan McSweeney. Currently running July 7th, the UVA Heritage Theater presents Million Dollar Quartet in their Cobra Theater. That's the kickoff of the Heritage Theater lineup. So check it out. It's going to be dope. Today, Eli Goldstein and his jazz trio at the Batesville Market at 1 o'clock. July 3rd, native Virginian but now in Tennessee, Carrie Holiday and UVA's Bruce Holzinger read from their works at New Dominion Bookshop. July 3rd through the 5th, Charlottesville Opera presents The Tragedy of Carmen. Carmen Sandiego?
No.
Oh.
No. No.
My bad. Where is she? I don't know. Oh. A scaled-down version of Bizet's Carmen. As Bizet?
Bizet.
Bizet. Bizet, like a bidet.
Bizet.
St. Anne Belfield School at Grisham Hall. July 3rd, the Prince Progressive Arts Initiative continues their summer film series with film series Pure Formalism, a collection of experimental abstract works. And for your music options this week.
Today, Susie and the Pistols at...
Bang, bang!
What?
The Pistols.
Oh, my God. Coat Cote. Is that Cote? Oh, Coach Rotier?
Coach Roti.
At Coach Roti at Chisholm and Coach Roti at Chisholm Vineyards and Adventure Farm at 2 p.m. Oh, my. Today, also today, Charlottesville Opera presents Encore! Charlottesville Opera favorites at the Paramount Theater at 2 p.m. Today, Severed Heads of Guillaume Pond at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub, followed by Phil West from Ragnarokers at 4 p.m. and then 7 p.m. Tomorrow, Brian Caputo Jazz Trio at Oakhurst Inn. Oh my goodness. July 2nd, the Charlottesville Municipal Band at the Paramount Theater plays a concert of modern Disney movie music with some other tunes.
How modern?
Thrown in. Okay. July 3rd, Tara Mills at Keswick Vineyards.
If it's past Princess and the Frog, I don't mess with it.
Right? Right. Also on the 3rd, 6 Foot Ceilings play a CD release concert for their self-titled first CD with Richmond's Rebecca Rafferty and the Wakes and Harley and the House of Juniper. Oh, Harley girl, I love you. At the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. Okay. Also on the 3rd. God, there's a lot on the 3rd. Coda Curl at the Shebeen Pub. On the 4th, Old Dogs New Tricks presents Reds, Whites, and Bluegrass.
Oh, I get it, because it's on the 4th.
Yes, that's cute. Isn't it? That's like, I see what y'all did there. That's interesting. Tara Mills and Jimmy Stelling at Grace Estate Winery. Catlin Canyon. Catlin Canyon at Stinson Vineyards. We are having too much fun. The 5th, Mojo Pie at Chisholm Vineyards and Adventure Farm. Get funky with Disco Risque at Proinata Farm Brewery. Get rockin'. Okay, so we got funky. Now we're going to get rockin', rockin' with Ian Gilliam at and the Fire Kings at Dirty Nelly's. Dream presents the Upside Down Seaville, a Stranger Things-inspired 80s dance party featuring Synthetic Division, Film on Girls, Ships in the Night, and DJ Katie Bug. DJ
dancing.
Katie Bug! Woo! Rugged Arts presents a release party for the Chris Newman Show mixtape featuring Chris Newman. Who
really?
Else? Also known as Viego. Lee Banga.
We know
hey,
Viego.
We know Lee.
We know Lee. Lee was on the show.
Lee Banga, Keys, Nathaniel
Lee be
Starr.
Promoting his booty
Nathaniel
off.
Nathaniel
Keys.
Starr.
Yeah, we go.
Nathaniel.
We going.
You doing a show and you ain't tell me.
If Keys is going, we going.
It on this thing. You know what? You know what? We fighting.
No, you mad.
We fighting when
no,
I see
you. Got
him
mad.
That's all at Twisted Branch, T-Bizarre. All right.
Going.
On the 6th, vocalist Adar leaves most of the band behind
wow.
for Adar Duo at Albemarle Cider Works.
She said it like that.
I know.
I know
Richmond
her, too. That's
Sweet
messed up.
Potatoes plays jazz at the Batesville Market. Kiz Carter and Juke Jackson at Dirty Nelly's. Billy and the Backbeats at Holly Diner. Luchador, huh? Lucadora is your only source for Appalachian surf rock.
They said it straight up. Only
this
source.
Night, this night on the 6th at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. On the 6th, John Dorth and Friends at Fellini's. Every Sunday, Travis Elliott Rapture. Every Monday, Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Seafoot!
Seafoot!
Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music Weekly Open Jam at the Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Tango Music with Miles Pierce and Maddie Metcalf at the Bebadero, baby. Songwriter Night at the local every Tuesday. Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Sales at the Bebadero. The Ragged Mountain String Band at the Whiskey Jar. Lewis Smith and Friends at Fellini's. The Traditional Session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, the Mike Krzyzewski and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. Every Wednesday and Thursday, Josh Mayo, Open Mic Night at 1221 Market Street, and Bachata Fusion at the Rabbit Hole. Every Thursday, Humberto Salas and Vincent Dorn do the Gypsy Rumba at the Bebedero. And every Thursday.
Every Thursday.
John Durst! At Miller's, all right.
Because every Thursday, you just gotta come down to Durst. There's some, but not all, of the artistic events here in Charlottesville. We just gonna pass it off. We gonna get back to these people. This is Homegrown. Drop!
Hello, everyone. This is Dina Jennings, your local luthier and physician. I'm at Homegrown, your show about local art at 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
35 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. Oh my.
Oh my.
God.
Oh my God.
I.
Oh
I'm
God.
Just going to get to it because this person is so special to me in my life. And I mean that.
Okay, no
seriously,
crying.
Genuinely.
No crying, okay? When Rochelle
was here.
This
guy's starting to become even more special.
Seriously.
This guy. I keep seeing him everywhere. It's
seriously, like when
you gotta
Rochelle
calm
was
down.
Here, there was a lot of crying.
You about we to start messing with my money.
Oh my.
You need to calm down. Let's just get right to it.
Oh
T. Ames, Thaddeus Lane, Julian Brass are here in the studio. Rent School Edition is going down. It's going to wrap up the 2018 season at Live Arts. This is the Live Arts Teen Theater Ensemble. Kind of, but not everybody's
not
a teenager.
Really,
but not really, but kind of. Whatever. Live Arts Theater, July 12th through July 28th. T. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I miss y'all, truly.
I had the lovely pleasure of having T direct me in Black Mac, which is also Black Macbeth, Jefferson School, African American Heritage Center, not too long ago. It was a lovely experience. Thank you for casting me in that role and giving me that responsibility.
Of course.
Yeah, it was great, and it was fun, and... And you're beautiful and amazing and awesome. So I know you're going to...
I said no crying.
I know you're going to put your foot in this one.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, Live Arts has given you the sword. They have entrusted you with the wrap-up. No pressure.
You know, I kind of do feel the pressure.
But they gave you the all-star cast.
They did. Oh, or I cast the all-star cast, I guess. My wonderful production team and I, we made sure that we were highlighting a lot of Black, queer, brown, and general artists. So it was really nice to be able to have a Black Mark and a Black Roger as well.
Yes.
And we
talk about that. Talk about the importance for doing that.
Okay. So I am Black, I'm queer, I'm non-binary, and those three things together mean that basically life for me is hard. It's really hard living in America.
Speak on.
And so when you're dealing with a show like Rent that talks so much about how you have to live life to the fullest every single day of your life, otherwise there's no point. I thought it was really important to highlight the fact that there are young people in America today that aren't given their full credit of what they actually go through day to day. And so, yes, Rent is about the AIDS epidemic in the 80s and 90s, but there are so many parallels and modern themes in Rent that young people can still... still have a lot to do with and still understand. So I've been talking to my cast a lot about police brutality. We talk a lot about how Black trans women are killed on a daily basis from any age. I mean, recently, I think it was a 14-year-old the last few days. We talk a lot about how depression and anxiety has a lot to do with young people and how it's not taken seriously, Black mental health especially. So we're talking about all these big themes that kids still understand and that we don't give them enough credit for. So when I cast this show, I wanted to make sure that I was giving folks a voice who didn't have a voice when I was that age. And I'm only 24, you know, so I'm still learning about who I am and how life works. But at the same time, I do know a lot more than I did then. So I wanted to be able to give a voice to young people like me at the time who didn't really understand what was going on. But now they have a language to be able to talk about and sing about what is really important and something that we go through day to day.
And Thad, I also, and Julian also, I want you to jump into this as well. Now, from my original concept, like Rent is Jonathan Larson, basically Rent based it on La Boheme. And the story of, you know, basic Bohemians. And you could argue that, like, the Larson version of Rent is very entitled.
Absolutely.
And they're, you know, they're kind of like Trustafarians that are just kind of like, get over it, man. And, you know, this is the way of the world. But you kind of freaked it and turned it into a way that is more palatable to the marginalized of this community. And that's kind of what La Boheme has always been about, like talking about how the creatives and the marginalized and all of these people that are kind of like pushed into these sects of the corners of society learn to thrive. So talk about that being youths in the world, coming into your own, seeing all of these injustices that are being done, wondering what you can do and how to be. Like, talk about what Rent means to you.
Oh, no pressure.
Questions.
That's okay. Everybody has that moment after David asks the question.
Yeah. Like, no, it's not, because it's never, never just one question. It's an overlying question with
the
like
world,
seven sub-questions.
The universe, the galaxy, big things, justice. Talk about that.
Yeah. Talk about that. You have a minute and a half.
That's what I do. That's what I do.
It's become something special to me, and like getting to know each person in the cast, like their story and where they come from and all the things that they've been through have like touched me. And I haven't been this open to a cast since, I don't think ever. Like, this is the first cast that I've been with that like literally I can talk to them about anything and I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Wow.
You know, I'm not one to really get all touchy with people because I don't open up to a lot of people. But with this cast, it's like endless. Like, I can talk to them about anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like this show allows us to have a voice that some of us probably didn't think we had.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm. Yeah.
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 Julian, do you have any words to add to your experience about?
I mean, for me, so I actually started at Live Arts last year on the music side.
Okay.
With Crybaby, that also played in.
Right on. And, is that what we be working?
And this year my role is a little bigger. I get to just take care of the band and make sure we're ready to go for the cast. And with musical theater, it's interesting because I didn't grow up in it, right? I'm a musician. But with Rent and with any theater play I get to be a part of, I told the cast once, I think in an exercise we were doing, you know, I said, wow, I'm falling in love with Rent, right?
Mm.
And one of them asked me, how have you not already done that? And, I mean, but, you know, my answer was, well, I just haven't grown up in musical theater. I don't, right. I'm not as familiar with the biggest plays. And so it's been incredible being a part of this process for me, watching T work with the cast. And I just feel like I've learned so much every day.
Yeah, they're an amazing force to be around, so you are lucky. And I just remember, how much time we got before break? Four? All right, yeah. So I was in high school when Rent came out. And it was just like, boom, skyrockets. Like, everybody knew it. Everybody knew all the words, all the lyrics. It speaks to youth. And it touches youth in a way that is, I would say, and Les Mis to some extent as well,
yes,
has this like resonance with youth that is unforeseen in other musicals. Can you speak on that, T? Why Rent is so important, not just, you know, from a cultural aspect, just from like, why do people 18 to 32 love this play so much,
especially with the things that you and I have already talked about? Like, there are problems.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
play, and real reasons why youth, especially disaffected youth, shouldn't love, but they do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So when I first heard of Rent, don't judge me, it was definitely the movie.
It's okay.
And I was with some musical theater friends from Live Arts Camp. Mm-hmm. I was probably 13 or 14 years old, and I remember hearing the song Will I for the first time.
Oh.
And the lyrics are literally, will I lose my dignity? Will someone care? Will I wake tomorrow from this nightmare? And I remember being 13, being very depressed, but not knowing how to talk about it, and how theater was the one thing that could help me get out of that depression and really be someone else for a couple of hours, which was really nice and refreshing. And it honestly was a little dissociative at first. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, why is it that these people that definitely are not my age don't look like me are suddenly singing about things that I feel every day? And so, especially in the middle of the Trump era right now, where it really does feel like there's no day but today and that we're living in America at the end of the millennium. I think it's important.
The bomb could drop at any moment.
Oh, yeah. The stakes are unbelievably high for, I mean, America as a whole, as the world as a whole, with climate change and everything that's going on. But also, when we're talking about the what is it? So there's like micro and macro levels of this, right? Mm-hmm. So on a smaller level, you've got the fact that this is a small cast of 19 kids, ages, 14 to 20, who not a lot of them don't know each other. And so when we first started doing this show, I was trying to explain to them the importance of Black aesthetic in theater, which is what I specialize, and talking about the idea that community is everything.
Yes.
This show is not about you. It is about the group as a whole.
Yes.
You cannot tell the story without every other person in this cast.
Yes.
It's actually been kind of hard because we have two cast members who have been doing another show in South Carolina currently, who will be back tomorrow.
Oh.
They already know all the music. Wow. They've learned a little bit of blocking, but a lot of it, they've been gone.
Yeah.
So we've had a swing here and there. And it's just been really hard for me personally as a director because I want my whole cast to be there. I want everyone to be able to make that bond together.
Absolutely.
But now that they're coming back, you know, I'm having this moment of, okay, how do we make sure that they also feel included in this community, but also get things done?
Yeah.
You know, we go into tech week next week.
Mm-hmm.
But in the midst of these high stakes, not just, you know, the macro level of, oh my God, America is slowly falling apart. There's also the side of, I want to make sure these kids are staying healthy.
Yeah.
And especially because a lot of our kids are trans and are queer, I don't want anyone to feel like they're going out of their way to do the show.
Yes.
So we focus on self-care a lot. If a kid is like, look, I have not slept in like 2 days and I'm sick and I'm hungry, I'll go get something to eat and be like, sit down, go home, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And the show is about taking care of yourself and the lack thereof of self-care and self-love. And so I'm in the midst of doing this show, I also try and teach my cast about how to take care of themselves and each other.
And that's why they're so amazing. She's going to kill it. We got to take a break. We're going to come right back. We're going to talk more about Rent. Oh, my God. I love these people.
And hear a song.
And hear songs. Oh, my God. This is Homegrown. Cheer up!
This is Bree Luck.
And Jaden Kowal.
We're representing Live Arts, and you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
47 minutes past the hour if you're just tuning. Now it's 48 if you're just tuning in. This is Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC. We got to talk. We got to talk. Rent is going down. We're about to play a song. Homegrown exclusive, right off the studio. T, you want to introduce this?
Yes. So this song is called One Song Glory. It's a staple from Rent. And in this point in the show, Roger, he has AIDS. He's realized that he needs to write one full song before he actually dies. And the idea of it is that, at least in our version, I don't want to give too much away, but he's remembering his old love, April. And so in the midst of the song, he's just singing about how he just needs one more song, One Song Glory.
Mm-hmm.
One song, glory, one song before I go, glory, one song to leave behind, fine, one song, one last refrain, glory, from the pretty boy front man, who wasted opportunity. One song, he had the world at his feet. Glory in the eyes of a young girl. A young girl. Find glory beyond the cheap colored lights. One song before the sun sets. Glory on another empty life. Time flies. Song about about love, glory from the soul of a young man. A young man, find the one song before the virus takes hold. Glory like a sunset, one song to redeem this empty life. Time flies, and then no need to endure anymore. Time dies.
Yes. Woo!
It's the thing about this show, as many problems as I have with it, I just love the music from Rent.
Yeah, the music is amazing.
It's like, I've got this problem, there's Rent. I put it like 30 seconds into the first song. I'm just like, hey, go, man.
All is forgotten.
And that's the beauty of musicals, is that, the whole point of why we sing is that we can't talk about it anymore.
Yes.
We got to get it out in another way that makes sense to us. And a lot of times, that means singing and dancing.
Yes.
And so, like, a show like this, we've done so many new things with it, so many things that people aren't expecting, that people just got to come and see it in order to figure it out.
So, this is the school edition.
Technically, yes.
So what is different from the regular Rent and the school edition?
Honestly, if I'm being quite honest with you, not much.
Okay. And the school edition, does Mimi still have the best ass on 14th Street?
She does. It is true. And he is staring again.
Yes, I am.
So it is technically the school edition. We've been able to add a lot of things back in, which has been nice. But songs like Contact, we just can't do. Certain lyrics have been taken out because they're just a little too sexual, a little too much for high schoolers. But other than that, we're not really shying away from much. We're definitely leaning into a lot more. Like, for example, I'm really excited for people to meet Maureen because we need to talk about problematic white women.
Can we
definitely talk about them during the show.
Good.
So I'm so excited for people to come.
To have that conversation.
Oh my God.
So things like Maureen talking about. Yes.
When have you not had that conversation?
Come on now.
Okay, true. True. I think it comes out of my mouth. You know, that's the way I am.
Exactly.
Okay, so besides your treatment of the problematic white woman,
yes.
How are you dealing? Like, has it been different? Because you have cast so many black and brown people, how has that changed the story for like, not just for the cast, but how has that changed the story and how you direct the story?
Ooh, honestly, I've had a lot of kids have to take a step back and breathe and take a second and realize, okay, we're going deep here.
Yeah.
And I told them, and I prepared them beforehand. It's like, we're not just going to jump into something really emotional and then jump out. But okay, now we're fine. No, we're going to dig in. We're going to do some character development. And then afterwards, we're going to make sure that you're okay.
Yeah.
And then we're going to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So great example of that. That's a song called Goodbye Love in the second act where Mark and Roger are screaming at each other. And it's the first time that we hear how many problems they have with one another.
Yeah.
And they've been roommates for years.
Right.
And so Mark, he's the only one in the show that really doesn't have AIDS. And his whole idea of trying to help and be an ally is to record everything.
Yeah.
So he's a narrator for the show. He has a video camera the entire time. In our version, since it is technically a more modern version with nods to the 90s, he also is using a selfie camera half the time.
Oh.
And it's actually really cool because during rehearsal, he's been able to record and then we can use those.
That's cool.
But anyway, Goodbye Love. They're really getting into why they really don't like each other sometimes. So Thad and Jacob, who plays Mark, are just screaming at each other. And when we were blocking that scene, I had to take moments and be like, okay, let's breathe.
Because obviously there was some real coming in there. Let's take a moment.
But that's what is essential for this theater experience to be real. We have to make it relative. You have to find a place where it is real to you. And if it's not real to you, how is it going to be real to them?
Yes, and I mean, and the things that we have changed in that, in my adaptation that in my brain makes sense. you know, in the beginning, Collins is supposed to be attacked by thugs, quote unquote.
Yes.
I made them cops.
Thank you.
Because, we're not going to ignore the fact that this happens on a daily basis.
Right.
And our Collins may be white, and that's purposeful, especially seeing, oh, yeah, two black men definitely befriended a white man. And we're like, oh, yeah, you're our quintessential white man of the group, right?
Right.
So when he gets jumped, that's saying a lot more than if a black man was jumped by two black thugs.
Yeah.
So we're really digging in deep, and there's a lot of, like, hidden things here and there that I'm hoping the audience can pick up on, and I want people to have a conversation afterwards.
We gotta wrap up, and we gotta take off, but, you know, T, you'll be back here with that. Of course, you'll be here. Taking my money. But I do want to talk about this the situation that keeps coming up about safe spaces and how people want to be in a safe space when we talk about these conversations. And there's a book out called Brave Spaces.
Yes.
And I think that's where we need to be.
Yes.
We need to be, because there's no safe space anymore.
No.
There are only
schools
safe
aren't
times
safe,
and safe places.
Churches aren't safe. There's no safe place for not only violence, but for discussion.
Yes.
So if we're going to have discussion, if we're going to have real discussion, let's be real with it. Let's come out. Let's be courageous in our speak, because if we don't hold our friends accountable, we can't love them.
That's right.
So
that's right.
I think
that's real.
I think what you're doing, I think what you're doing in this process is beautiful. I've been a part of it before. I know that you put 100% of what you do into your work, and I know that this is going to be a monster of a show, because they were going to give you everything that you need to, you know, thrive. And if they don't, screw them. You'll find a way to make it happen anyway. Because I know you, T.
Because that's what we do.
That's what we do. You'll find a way.
So hard, and I really hope that y'all come out and see the hard work they've put in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to rock the house. Woo. Rent at Live Arts, July 12th through July 28th.
No tears.
I cried a little.
No tears.
I cried a little when Thad started singing. I'll be crying honest.
Hey. In the middle of the song, I started crying, and I would have gotten to it.
Aww.
I mean, I did.
Aww.
I did. I'll be real. We got to get out of here. It's 10:58. Much love to T, Thaddeus Lane, Julian Brass, Lydia Underwood, Horan, Tim Reed for being our guest today. I love you, Clinton. I love you, Leslie.
I love you, David.
Oh, my God. Movers and shakers. All of y'all. I don't care what anybody says. This is Homegrown. We got to get out of here. See y'all next week.
Peace.
Peace.
Welcome back to town. Oh, I should lie down.
All right. This has been Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. We'd like to thank our guests from Fort County Players, Lydia Underwood, Horan, and Tim Reed, and from Live Art, specifically the Teen Theater Group, T. Ames, Thaddeus Land, and their musician, Julian Brass. Our opening music is from Spit It Out, Inc. Our event music is by Positive Collective. This is from the Broadway production of Rent Right Now. Any complaints about Homegrown should be directed to our attorneys at the fine lifting law firm of Tochterman, Overman, Munson, and Burke, legal services that wrap around you like a thong. If you're an artist and want to be on Homegrown, homegrown947@gmail.com. Give us a call. Drop us a line. Remember to keep your dial on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
Hello, Maureen? Your equipment won't work? Okay, all right, I'll go.
How do you leave the past behind?
Listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.